Psalm 45, verses 1 to 5. I'll read to you the whole psalm and then we will look into verses 1 to 5. Psalm 45. To the choir master, according to Lilies, a maskil of the sons of Korah, a love song. My heart overflows with a pleasing theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe. You are the most handsome of the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your splendor and majesty. In your majesty, ride out victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand teach you awesome deeds. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From ivory palaces, stringed instruments make you glad. Daughters of kings are among your ladies of honor. At your right hand stands the queen in gold of Ophir. Hear, O daughter, and consider and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house, and the king will desire your beauty, since he is your Lord. Bow to him. The people of Tyre will seek your favor with gifts, the riches of the people. All glorious is the princess in her chamber, with robes interwoven with gold. In many colored robes she is led to the king, with her virgin companions following behind her. With joy and gladness they are led along as they enter the palace of the king. In place of your fathers shall be your sons. You will make them princes in all the earth. I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, nations will praise you forever and ever. The title of Psalm 45 says, A Song of Loves. That's what the King James Version says. The English Standard Version uses the words, a love song. So this song identifies as a marriage song. The King James Version uses the word Shoshanim, Shoshanim in Hebrew. The ESV translates this as according to the lilies. This identifies the tune to which the song was to be sung. And we find similar titles in Psalm 60, Psalm 69, and Psalm 80. The wedding in this psalm was obviously that of a king. My heart overflows with a pleasing theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe. Psalm 45 verse 1. And then in verse 11 it says, Psalm 45 verse 11, and the king will desire your beauty, since he is your Lord, bow to him. And again in verse 14, Psalm 45 verse 14, in many colored robes she is led to the king, with her virgin companions following behind her. We also find words mentioned like throne, scepter, and majesty in the psalm. So this wedding is a wedding of a king. Now some have identified this king as King Solomon. King Solomon, who married an Egyptian princess. In 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 1 we read, Solomon made a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. In 1 Kings chapter 9 verse 24, it says, 1 Kings 9 verse 24, but Pharaoh's daughter went up from the city of David to her own house that Solomon had built for her. Then he built the Millo. Of all of David's sons, only Solomon was anointed as king. Psalm 45 verse 7. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Solomon was also noted for his wealth, wealth in gold. And this psalm speaks about the gold of Ophir, the gold of Ophir. Psalm 45 verse 9. Daughters of kings are among your ladies of honor. At your right hand stands the queen in gold of Ophir. Psalm 45 verse 13. All glorious is the princess in her chamber with robes interwoven with gold. Now in 1 Kings chapter 9 verses 27 to 28 we read of this gold of Ophir. 1 Kings chapter 9 verses 27 to 28. And Hiram sent with the fleet his servants, seamen who were familiar with the sea together with the servants of Solomon, and they went to Ophir and brought from there gold, 420 talents, and they brought it to King Solomon. King Solomon also had a close association with the great city of Tyre in Psalm 45 verse 12. The people of Tyre will seek your favor with gifts, the riches of the people. 1 Kings chapter 9 verses 10 to 11. At the end of 20 years in which Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house, and Hiram king of Tyre had supplied Solomon with cedar and cypress, timber and gold as much as he desired, King Solomon gave to Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. But when we study this psalm in detail, it is very clear that one greater than Solomon is present here in this beautiful psalm. Jesus said, we read in Matthew chapter 12, verse 42, the queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. That one who is greater than Solomon is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Now if this were a merely, if this psalm was merely a secular love song, why would it be given to the chief musician to be used in the worship of the Lord at the sanctuary? That would be blasphemy. And Solomon was not a warrior, but this psalm speaks about war. Psalm 45 verses 3 to 5. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your splendor and majesty. In your majesty, ride out victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand teach you awesome deeds. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The people fall under you. And certainly, an inspired writer would not address Solomon as God. Psalm 45 verse 6 says that. Psalm 45 verse 6. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. Now, in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 1 verses 8 to 9, we find there this psalm is a messianic psalm. Hebrews 1 verses 8 to 9 marks this psalm as a messianic psalm. Hebrews 1 verses 8 to 9. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. So whatever may have been the historic use of the psalm, one thing is very clear. The ultimate message here in Psalm 45 is about the Lord Jesus Christ and His bride, the church. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 23. In fact, I would suggest that you read Ephesians 5 from verse 23 on and complete the whole chapter to understand what it is to be the church, what the church is. The church is the bride of Christ. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 32. This mystery is profound, And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. The church is the bride of Christ. Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to 9. Revelation 19, 6 to 9. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, Write this, Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true words of God. Again in Revelation chapter 22, Revelation chapter 22 verse 17, The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let the one who hears say, Come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Now the writer of the psalm presents four pictures of our Lord Jesus, and in so doing, he also describes his bride. First, we see the picture of the gracious Son of Man, Psalm 45 verses 1 to 2. Then we see the picture of the victorious warrior in Psalm 45 verses 3 to 5. Then we see the picture of the righteous king, Psalm 45 verses 6 to 7, the first part of verse 7. Then we see the picture of the glorious bridegroom, Psalm 45 verse 7, the second part of verse 7, right up to verse 17. Today we look at verses 1 to 5. First, we'll see the picture of the gracious Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 45 verses 1 to 2. This is a song from the heart of an inspired and excited writer. And his heart was bubbling over with this theme. For it is the greatest theme in the universe, the glories of the Son of God. The writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. Hebrews 12 verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, what was this joy that was set before him? It was the joy of presenting his bride, the church, to the Father in glory. In his high priestly prayer, recorded in John chapter 17, Jesus prays. In John 17 verse 24 we read, John 17 verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. You see, that's why he says, In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And then he says, I'll come back and take you to be with me. So he desires that we, the church, will be with him forever. He looks forward to this joy of presenting his bride, the church, to the Father in glory. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to glorify Christ in this world. And he inspired this writer to do exactly that. Speaking about the Holy Spirit, Jesus said in John 16 verse 14, He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So the Spirit of God inspires the writer of the psalm to glorify Christ in the psalm. The king described here in the psalm is both God and man. And that can be only Jesus. That can only be Jesus, nobody else. Psalm 45 verse 6. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. Again in verse 2, Psalm 45 verse 2, You are the most handsome of the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips, therefore God has blessed you forever. So the person described here, the king who is described here, is both God and man, and that is only the Lord Jesus Christ. The writer began with the beauty of the king in verse 2. The King James Version uses the words, fairer than the children of men. Psalm 45 verse 2, I read from the King James Version. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. The ESV says, most handsome of the sons of men. The literal meaning is beautified with beauty. Beautified with beauty. Now, King Saul was a handsome man. 1 Samuel chapter 9 verse 2. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a handsome young man. There was not a man among the people of Israel more handsome than he. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 23. He was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upward. David was also a handsome man. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 12. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. So Samuel anoints David. But none of these men surpassed Jesus. Now when our Lord Jesus ministered on earth, he had no special physical beauty. In fact, Isaiah 53 verse 2, we read in Isaiah 53 verse 2, for he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. When his persecutors were through with him, he didn't even look human, because the Roman soldiers tortured him. He went through the Roman scourge, and nobody survives, usually nobody survives the Roman whipping. When they finished torturing him, he didn't even look human. Isaiah 52 verse 14. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. But today, the Lord Jesus Christ is the center of heaven's glory, and he is the focus of heaven's worship. We find this beautifully pictured in the fourth and fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. And I would suggest that you read those two beautiful chapters, chapter 4 and chapter 5 of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5, I just read a few verses for you. Revelation chapter 5 verses 11 to 14. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. We love the Lord Jesus even though we have not seen him. But one day we will behold the King in his beauty. Isaiah chapter 33 verse 17. Isaiah chapter 33 verse 17. Your eyes will behold the King in his beauty. So we shall see him and we shall become like him. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. The writer of the psalm marveled at the gracious speech of the king. Psalm 45 verse 2. You are the most handsome of the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore God has blessed you forever. Now when Jesus preached and taught on earth, the people who heard him marveled at his words. So many times in the Gospels we find. Luke chapter 4 verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus speaking. In Luke chapter 4 verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Again in Luke chapter 4 verse 22. And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Luke chapter 4, verse 32. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. Now officers were sent by the chief priests and Pharisees to arrest him. But what happened? They came back to the chief priests and Pharisees, and this is what they said. John 7 verses 45 and 46. It's recorded there. John chapter 7 verses 45 to 46. The officers then came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, why did you not bring him? Why did you not bring him? The officers answered, no one ever spoke like this man. Mark chapter 1 verse 21 and 22. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. Again, Mark chapter 6 verse 2. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Again in Mark 11 verse 18. And the chief priests and the scribes heard it and were seeking a way to destroy him, for they feared him because all the crowd was astonished at his teaching. Visitors from distant lands came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. We read of that in 1 Kings chapter 4 verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, and breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore. 1 Kings chapter 4 verse 34. And people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. But the Father in heaven has hidden all the treasures of divine wisdom in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. In the book of Colossians chapter 2 verse 3 we read, Colossians chapter 2 verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see, Solomon died, and except for what he wrote in the scripture, his wisdom also died with him. But Jesus, the King of Kings, is blessed forever. Psalm 45 verse 2. You are the most handsome of the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore God has blessed you forever. The throne of Christ is eternal, not temporal like Solomon's throne. Psalm 45 verse 6. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. And the name of Christ will be praised forever. Psalm 45 verse 17. I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, nations will praise you forever and ever. And that is what is happening now all across the globe. Nations, people from different tribes and nations, people from different ethnic backgrounds, are praising the Lord in their own language. In the Bible, the word forever can mean as long as you live. For example, a slave. He can choose to be a slave forever, meaning as long as he lives. Exodus 21 verse 6. Then his master shall bring him to God, and he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall be his slave forever. Exodus 21 verse 6. Then his master shall bring him to God, and he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall be his slave forever. So that was a sign that a slave chooses to be a slave as long as he lives. Forever there means as long as he lives. But here in Psalm 45, forever in verse 2 means for eternity. Jesus is king forever. Then we see the picture of the Lord Jesus as the victorious warrior. He is the victorious warrior. Psalm 45 verses 3 to 5. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your splendor and majesty. In your majesty, ride out victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand teach you awesome deeds. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The people fall under you. Now, since Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, God has been at war with Satan and sin. Genesis 3 verse 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The Lamb of God is also the Lion of Judah. Let's not forget that. He is King of Kings. He is the Lamb of God. But he is also the Lion of Judah. Revelation chapter 5 verse 5. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. Jesus suffered and died on the cross, not only to save sinners, but also to defeat Satan. Colossians chapter 2 verses 13 to 15. And you who are dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. One day, Jesus will return as a warrior and he will defeat his enemies and he will establish his righteous kingdom on earth. Revelation chapter 19 verses 11 to 16. Revelation 19 verses 11 to 16. Then I saw heaven opened and behold a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire. And on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His right hand will indeed accomplish awesome things. That's what the psalm says. The Church of Jesus Christ does not use human weapons to accomplish his will. Peter tried to use such a weapon and Jesus rebuked him. John 18 verses 10 to 11. John 18 verses 10 to 11. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? Speaking to Pilate, Jesus said in John chapter 18 verses 36 to 37, John 18 verses 36 to 37, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. Then Pilate said to him, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. The Church of Jesus Christ uses the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Again, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now the book of Revelation describes Jesus in Revelation chapter 1 verse 16. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. Revelation chapter 19 verse 15. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, the Almighty. Jesus is fighting on behalf of truth and meekness and righteousness. Psalm 45 verse 4. Psalm 45 verse 4. In your majesty, ride out victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand teach you awesome deeds. As God's people, we share His love, we serve others, and we declare His word. And His word will never return to Him void. It will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent forth. And we seek to reconcile men and women with God. The Father has promised to give the Son the nations of the earth for His inheritance. And the Father will surely keep His promise. Psalm 2 verses 8 and 9. Psalm 2 verses 8 and 9. Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. On the cross, Jesus completely defeated Satan. Satan hasn't conceded defeat, but he has no power over us who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus also overcame the world. Jesus overcame the world. John 16 verse 33. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He certainly overcame the flesh. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are identified with His victory. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, you and I have been included in His death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and exaltation. I have repeated this so many times. But unless we grasp the reality of this truth, we can't live in victory. The simple truth of victory is understanding your identity with Christ. Once you grasp this truth, you will learn to live that truth. We have been raised to walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6 verses 2 to 4. Romans chapter 6 verses 2 to 4. By no means how can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Jesus Christ wants us to live in victory every day. But first, we must want victory. Remember, the Christian life is a battlefield. It's not a playground. Some people would rather walk on the margin of the battlefield and be a walking victim rather than a marching victor. I repeat, some people would rather walk on the margin of the battlefield and be a walking victim rather than a marching victor. So examine your heart and say, Lord, I want victory today. I don't want to be a walking victim. I want to be a victor. I want to be a marching victor. I want to be victorious, and You have given me victory. Then we must yield ourselves to Christ. Remember, we don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. The simple secret of winning in the Christian life is to identify ourselves with Christ and trust Him and follow Him. You are standing on victory ground. Keep in mind that Christ is riding in majesty. Why don't you ride right along with Him in faith? By faith, identify yourself with Christ and share His victory. He will empower you by His Spirit to live that life of victory. And in doing so, you will bring glory to Christ. And when you bring glory to Christ, when you exalt Jesus Christ, He will draw people to Himself. Let's bow our heads in prayer.